Cactus 1549, turn left lane 270.
This is Cactus 1539. Hit birds. We've lost thrust on both engines. Returning back towards LaGuardia.
Okay, you need to return to LaGuardia. Turn left heading up 220.
Who is it?
It's 1529. Bird strike. He lost all engine. He lost the thrust in the engines. He's returning immediately.
Cactus 1529. Which engines?
He lost thrust in both engines, he said.
Got it.
Cactus 1529. We can get it for you. Do you want to try to land 1313?
We're unable. We may end up in the Hudson.
All right, Cactus 1549. It's going to be left traffic to runway 31.
Unable.
Cactus 1529. Turn right 280. You can land runway 1 at Teterboro.
We can't do it.
Okay, which runway would you like at Teterboro?
We're going to be in the Hudson.
Cactus.
Phone losers of America.
Cactus. PLA Incorporated.
Cactus. PLA Incorporated.
Cactus.
PLA Inc.
Cactus.
PLA Incorporated.
PLA Radio, Episode 23. My guest and co-host today is Richard Cardo.
Ladies and gentlemen.
He's the author of Tying Up Loose Ends and the JonBenet Ramsey Murder, which has been on the Penguin Classics bestseller list for 3 weeks now.
My name is Richard Cardo, and I'm going to be your guide on this trail.
No, Richard. Actually, I'm the host of the show. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
The JonBenet Ramsey homicide has been unresolved for almost 11 years now. I'm here to tell you that this case could have been resolved within the first 6 to 7 months.
I wish we had time for that, Richard, but let's do some updates instead.
Okay.
Last month, a big chunk of the PLA attended ShmooCon in Washington, D.C.
The convention never happened.
No, really, it did. Eyeball, Trevlin, Alt-Alp, Vixen, Rob T. Firefly, and Rogue Clown were there. And we got to meet a lot of other people, too. So thanks to everyone that attended that. You can view photos, reviews, and videos of ShmooCon at phonelosers.org.
Go back to the PLA site and look at this index, like a table of contents almost.
Thanks, Richard. Today we're going to take a look at a few social engineering pranks directed at minimum wage employees, including the recent KFC incident that's been all over the news recently. And we're also going to take another brief look at Bell Canada's voice authentication.
I tried to call you collect. You said you would not accept. Your friends are laughing because nobody uses payphones. Gave me quarters to select. So I'm on the jukebox.
You might remember PLA Radio Episode 17, which dealt with Bell Canada's new voice authentication for home telephone accounts, which serves only to make accounts less secure. Shortly after that episode was released, I called up a lot of Bell Canada reps and asked them how secure their voice authentication was, and all of them assured me that there was no way to fool it with a tape recorder.
This is obviously about JonBenet.
No, Richard, this has nothing to do with JonBenet, actually. This is about voice authentication.
I think this is an allusion to JonBenet being dead.
Sure, whatever. Let's just listen to some of these clips of Bell Canada reps assuring me that fooling their system is impossible.
Okay, here we go.
There's no way to fool the voice recognition?
Absolutely not. She is actually very stubborn.
Is there any way to fool it? I mean, you know, can somebody else pretend to be me?
No.
They can't, like, imitate my voice?
No.
But what if they were to, like, call me up and get me to say all the words, and then they spliced them all together and made me say that phrase and play
No,
the...
it doesn't work like that. When you call to do it, then it's your voice that they're recognizing.
Yeah, but if they had a tape recording of my voice, couldn't they use that?
No, it goes by your voice.
I just wanted to know if that's, like, secure and everything. Like, there's no way that people...
It is indeed secure.
Oh, there's no possible way for people to fool it?
No.
Would it be possible for someone to make a tape recording of my voice?
No.
And play that back over the phone?
No.
Oh, wouldn't that work? It seems like that would work.
You're asking me the question, and I'm telling you it's not possible.
Okay. Like, there's just no way possible, huh?
No way possible.
Oh, because I did that, and it worked. Well, couldn't someone use a tape recording of my voice saying that phrase?
See, a tape recorder would have noise and static in it.
Uh-huh.
And it would, you know, and it has to be a specific phrase. My voice is my password.
Yeah.
It won't record any other phrase.
Oh, there's no way to record just some random gibberish when I initially set it up?
No, it would have to say my voice is my password.
Oh, okay. But the tape recorder thing, what if someone got me to say those words?
You know, if it's with a tape recorder, like, everything sounds a little bit different on a tape recorder, if you notice. Like, there's static... little bit of background noise.
Uh-huh.
The software would automatically pick that up, right?
You'll notice that last guy said you have to record the phrase that the system tells you, which is @bell, my voice is my password. Let's see if this is true by enrolling someone else's account into the voice authentication system. All we need to do this is the person's account number from their bill.
That is a big, big piece of the puzzle here.
Yes, it is, Richard. But you can easily get this from their trash by calling them on the phone and asking them for it, or the phone company is always happy to hand it over to you.
So calling Bell's home phone, my name is Dawn. How can I help you today?
Hi, this is Kevin from Repair. I'm transferring over a customer to you.
Okay, can I get the telephone number, please?
Sure, it's 416.
Yeah? Thank you. You having a problem with lines today, like in that area?
Yeah, when I put this number in, it wasn't pulling up for me. Has it not coming up for you there either?
That program is so slow. M. Carl?
Well, she gave me Shauna Carl.
Okay, I've got an M. Boulevard, apartment B1.
Yeah, that's the same address. Which 9-digit account number is on there?
133.
What a moron.
Next, Richard and I simply called Bell Canada and set up voice authentication when the system asked us to.
For your security, I invite you to record a sample of your voice that will be used to identify you when you call to speak with one of our representatives. It's faster and simpler than having to validate your ID each time. You'll need your account number located on the top right of your bill. So, would you like to record your voice now?
Yes.
Okay, we'll now begin the enrollment process. This information stays confidential to Bell. To begin, I will need your 9-digit account number, which is located on the top right corner of your bill. Key in or say your account number now. Let's now record the sample of your voice, which will be associated with your account number and will be used by the system to recognize you. I will ask you to repeat a key phrase up to a maximum of 4 times.
Which phrase should we use instead of that one?
Cactus?
I like the way you think, Richard.
Simply say the following phrase after the beep. At Bell, my voice is my password.
Cactus, 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 cactus.
Okay, now after the beep, say it again. At Bell, my voice is my password.
Cactus, 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 cactus.
All right, this should be the last time. After the beep, please repeat, at Bell, my voice is my password.
Cactus, 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 cactus.
Your voice print has been successfully registered.
Now let's call back in about our account and see how well it responds first to the correct phrase and then to our new cactus phrase.
I'll get you to an agent. For security reasons, I'll need to authenticate your voice. After the beep, clearly say, at Bell, my voice is my password.
At Bell, my voice is my password.
Sorry, we'll need to try again because I couldn't match your voice with the one we have on file. After the beep, clearly say, at Bell, my voice is my password.
Cactus, 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 cactus.
Thanks. Your voice has been authenticated.
And once again, Bell Canada's voice authentication fails not only at making an account more secure, but at even recognizing the words that you're supposed to be saying. So using it for every customer across 2 provinces makes perfect sense.
To phone hackers, it makes perfect sense, because phone hackers use beige boxing, blue boxing, red boxing to hack into phones.
Well, yeah, Richard, maybe it was just that in the 80s, but I think there's a little more than that to phone freaking these days, isn't there?
Okay, phone hackers break into people's phone lines all the time. They harass them. They, they just steal credit card numbers. Okay, they take people's information down and use it. Okay, these are what phone hackers are.
All right, you win. Even if you want to ignore the good parts like phone hackers that give millions to charity each year, or the 2600 Big Brothers Big Sisters program, or DEFCON's Adopt a Highway program.
They break into your lines, they steal your phone time, they steal phone time, they steal your credit card numbers, your information. Okay. They like to hack into things. Hackers are kind of criminals. And they don't think there's anything really wrong with it. And they want to use the excuse when they're caught. Say, I was just trying to show how fragile your security is on your phone and on your computer.
Sounds like you've had some issues with hackers before. Anyway, let's take a quick break while Richard Cardo does some interpretive music for us.
1, 2, 3, 4, a freak is knocking at my door. 5, 6, 7, 8, his lineman's belt is on him straight. 9, 10, 11, 12, he's putting phone wires under my shelf. 5, 6, 7, 8, I do not wish to be harassed by the PLA. PLA rocks.
This is Rob T. Firefly, and you're listening to the Phone Losers of America, celebrating 10 happy years of making you miserable.
We're going to take a look at some extreme cases of phone pranking now, where callers actually get people on the other end of the phone to do things that are destructive or dangerous. Our first example is pretty harmless. This is a call of El Jefe calling up a convenience store and getting the clerk to unplug their ATM machine for the rest of his shift.
7-Eleven, Mike speaking.
Hi, Mike. This is Terry from BCom. We're actually having a problem with viruses going over the network in your area, and we need you to go over there and unplug the power to the machine.
Okay, just unplug it, huh?
Yeah. Have you had any complaints about it acting funny at all tonight?
No, everybody's been using it.
All right, well, it's
nobody said anything.
All right, it's probably not infected then, so yeah, just unplug that so it doesn't, and it's probably safe to put it back in around 6 in the morning after we've done all our diagnostics.
Well, do you know which cord I pull? There's like 3 or 4 of them and one running out of a box.
All right. Anything basic is going to that machine unplugged that you can get to.
Oh, okay. In other words, take all 3 of them out?
Yeah, take them. If they run to the machine, yeah, go ahead and take them that. And,
okay.
You may want to put an out-of-service sign on it, too, just to save trouble, but...
Yeah, I know. I let go.
All right. We will give you a call when it's safe to hook
up. Okay, I'm going over to unplug it now. Bye.
Okay, thanks.
Dumb people will do dumb things.
I'm not sure if I'd even call the convenience store clerk dumb in this one. El Jefe's request was pretty reasonable, and it's nothing that could obviously hurt anyone or anything. It's funny, and it's just a minor inconvenience to a few people, but it demonstrates that you can get employees to do just about anything over the phone. This next clip is slightly more destructive. A kid calls up an electronics department of a Walmart and convinces the lady working there that she should take scissors and cut the wires on her computer's keyboard so that she would be upgraded to wireless.
Okay, now do you have any scissors in front of you?
Scissors?
Yes.
Oh, okay, let me open the cabinet and get the scissors.
Okay.
Okay, I got the scissors.
Okay, can you cut that red and black wire? And then it should be all wireless. We already set it up.
Okay, I got a black wire and a white wire.
Yes, cut them both, please.
Okay. Oh!
That surprise sound that you heard from her was because sparks were shooting out of the wire that she was cutting with the scissors.
Let's consider some other aspects of this.
Yeah, such as the fact that this prank could have killed the lady or put her in the hospital if she cut an electrical cord by mistake. That's the other aspect you're referring to, right, Richard?
Yes, and I like cats, too.
I see. Here's some more of that call.
Okay, and you cut both of the wires?
I cut the black one and the white one.
Okay, good. What happened?
Other than the computer's not on. It's not on. The screen is not on.
What?
The monitor screen is not on.
Was it on before?
Yeah, it was on before, but when I got ready to cut the wires, the electricity popped out of it.
Okay, ma'am. Can you go to the other computer now? We need to upgrade that one, too.
Okay, even though this one hasn't come back on?
It's fine. We'll be there in a second.
Oh, okay. Well, let me cut the wires.
No.
So hold on. Huh?
Okay.
Now, I'm on plug before I cut the wires. The last time I got fire
coming
out at me.
Okay, yes.
Now, this one has 3 wires coming out of it, 2 black
ones
and a white.
Yes, I know. You need to cut all three. Yes, please.
All right. I'll just make sure.
Okay, yeah, no problem. Keep me updated.
A few years back, I heard a similar call to this one where a guy got a Motel 6 employee to cut his keyboard wire with scissors, which was at least safe because the keyboard was on top of the desk and in front of the computer. But when you have some retarded Walmart lady under the counter cutting wires with scissors, the next thing you know...
You killed them.
That's right, Richard.
Three employees at the KFC on Daniel Webster Highway in Manchester were left out in the cold, wrapped in blankets, huddled in emergency vehicles. Police say they were the victims of a dangerous prank that left them undressed and coated with chemicals. Investigators say Thursday afternoon, the fast food restaurant received a hoax phone call claiming to be from the KFC Corporation. The caller instructed employees to test the fire suppression system.
It's a chemical that suppresses flames in the kitchen area.
The employees were covered with irritating fire extinguisher chemicals. That's when the caller told them to evacuate and remove their clothes. Police say they did, but the employees got suspicious when the caller then told them to urinate on each other. Police and hazmat crews were called in.
We arrived on scene in the cold weather. There were three employees disrobed outside of the building that were exposed to the product.
Two employees, along with two police officers, had to go to the hospital after being exposed to the chemicals and fumes.
This next clip is from a KFC incident that happened in New Hampshire and has been on the news a lot this past week. But none of the news sites had the actual audio of the prank call. Last week, a user on our forums named Veruca was nice enough to send us the audio for this. It starts out with the prank callers convincing a manager to set off the fire suppression systems in their kitchen.
Hello, ma'am, did you pull it?
No, I didn't. I don't know if this is the one I'm supposed to pull or not. This is inside the metal box. Is that what I'm doing?
Yes. They could be up to 2 to 3 to 4 levers. I need you to pull them all to reset it. Once you pull them down, the little green light will show up on my grid 4. Then I know everything's above board and legal and you're ready to go.
Okay. In case of fire, pull pin and pull it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, we need you to pull it and whack it down so we can reset it from our end, please.
Oh, crap. Watch out.
What's happening, ma'am? Ma'am, what's happening?
Coming out of my ceiling.
Okay,
out
ma'am.
Ceiling?
Coming out?
That's with my foot vent. Great.
Okay, is any of the chemicals...
Okay, calm down, ma'am.
Is any of the chemicals touching your skin, ma'am?
Turn it off. We're going to turn it off, ma'am.
It's off. We've turned it off. It should be cut. Is it stopping, ma'am?
No, it's not stopping.
Okay.
After this, the caller talks to a couple of the employees, telling them how lethal the chemicals in the fire suppression system are, which isn't true, and has them all go outside the KFC. Keep in mind that it's February and there's snow on the ground.
That is a lethal, toxic chemical, and that can kill you. Now, where exactly did it get on you?
Are you kidding me? Did it get anywhere in your face? No, just her arms.
Okay,
oh my God, it's on her hands. Dean, it's on her hands. That's the 501 code.
We can't serve that stuff.
Okay, ma'am, I need you to remain calm and stay on the phone and listen to the instructions.
And that is a very lethal and toxic airborne chemical that sprays. It's designed to spray onto fires.
Right.
But unfortunately, it got under her hand, and that's going to start to eat at her skin. It's got under her clothes, and it's airborne. So how many people were in the vicinity, in the area, of when they were
full? Myself. I got sprayed all over my arms, and I went...
Oh, my God. Okay. Okay, now, did you hear Sonia make the announcement that the store is unsafe and that it needs to be... Now, what you need to do is you need to evacuate the store and you need to get outside the store immediately. Now, do you have a cell phone, Faye?
We do.
And we have a hazmat cleaning crew that we're sending right now. They're going to get down there and they're going to clean the store. And they're going to give you and Sonia a chemical wash, which is going to rid your body of all the chemicals that's on your clothes and on your body.
Yep.
And if that doesn't happen soon, then you could potentially die. So we need you to get outside the store right now. And you need to give me your cell phone number right now.
Okay, it's 540.
The news reports have said that the callers only kept the employees on the phone for 10 to 15 minutes. But this is wrong, since the sound clip I have is over an hour long, and it doesn't even appear to be complete. Next, we'll hear the caller convince all three female employees that they need to take their clothes off.
Very, very interesting.
Okay, Faye. I need you to remain calm. Okay, are you wearing KFC uniform?
I took off my shirt.
That's correct. Okay, good. Now, it's spread. Now, that chemical is all over your clothes. You need to... Are they black pants, or what color are they?
They're black.
Okay, those pants need to come off. I understand this is very uncomfortable for you. It's not going to be for long, but your safety is more important, and we would rather have you wake up tomorrow to live another day rather than this stuff start eating away at your skin. Did you say that Sonia also got it on her hands?
Did you get sprayed, Sonia? She said no, but she breathed it in.
Oh, my God. Okay, she's going to have to remove her shirt as well.
Mr. Dean.
Take your shirt off. It's so cold out here.
I understand. Just remain calm now. You're going to have to explain to Faye as well. Now, Faye has to remove her underpants, her pants. This is going to be only for a short while, most likely 5 minutes tops. You're going to have to remove that bra, Sonia.
Are you kidding me?
I wish I was kidding you so that I could go home to my wife. Unfortunately, we have this urgent emergency situation I have to deal with. This is a huge liability on the company's hands. We need you to remove that bra immediately. As well as Faye.
It gets curiouser and curiouser.
It sure does get curiouser, Richard. Just listen to this next part.
Now, those clothes. Now, do any of you guys smoke?
Yeah.
Do you smoke?
Yep.
Okay, now those clothes are pretty much, you can never wear those clothes again, okay?
Yes, they're all these clothes out, all of them.
Do you have a lighter? Maybe you could burn them? Because those clothes are emitting a airborne
okay,
chemical.
We have to burn our clothes.
That is the safest way.
I don't think they ever got around to actually setting their clothes on fire, but this is only because they were so busy doing everything else this guy was telling them to do. Later in the call, they're about to set their clothes on fire when the police and the fire department arrive and distract them from that.
That's going to really cook his goose later on.
What will cook his goose, Richard?
I mean, he was nailed.
You mean you think you know who the guy is?
I mean, the idiot was just advertising he was involved in a crime.
Really? So who is it then?
It is a phone hacker.
Here we go again.
And freaking is like phone hacking.
Obviously.
This is a criminal behavior.
If you think that's criminal, just wait till you hear this next part. This last part is 6 minutes long and kind of runs together, but I'll separate the different clips with beeps. This is all of the best stuff from the hour-long prank call.
Now, when you're stung by a jellyfish, what happens is you have to, you know, the jellyfish in the water, in the ocean, in the sea?
Uh-huh.
You have to urinate on the part where you were stung, and this is a very similar thing. Now, it was on her hands, correct, or arms?
Yes.
Okay, now ask her if she's able to pee on her arm.
Are you able to urinate on your arm? On your arms, wherever that
because
stuff
the urine
is.
Contains a concentration of acid that's going to dissolve and deactivate the toxin that's on her arm. That's what happens. Now, I'm a member of the hazmat crew, and they've informed me because it got on your hands and your arms, it's going to start to create a rash and eat at your skin unless you slow the process down. That's why you need to urinate on your arm right now. Is there any way you can do that, or maybe if you have to ask Sonia to do it?
I can try. I can try.
I need you to just try right now. Okay, I'm going to be quiet. Just go ahead and try.
Okay.
It doesn't matter where the urine's coming from as long as it's just urine. Now, if she can't do it, would you be willing to do it for her to be a good friend and to help save her life?
Yeah, to save her life.
Okay. Now, how old is she? You're like...
How old is she? 28?
Okay, all right. So you guys are both young. Okay, you guys got a whole life ahead of you, and that's what I'm saying. You know, your safety is my number one concern. Now, is she far away from you, or where did she go?
Yeah, she went around the corner.
Okay. Now, is there any... Now, there's not too many people around, correct?
This is a highway. There's plenty of people around.
Hello?
Hello, Faye.
Oh, I got a little bit.
Okay, now, okay, what's
your... I rubbed it all
over. Sonia. Tell Sonia to come over there, and you're going to have to get her to do it. Right now. Tell her that
right,
it's important.
Sonia,
stay on the phone.
On me? All right, she's going to do that. We got to put the phone down.
Okay, is she gonna urinate on you first?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you need to put the phone? I mean, can't you just hold the phone in one hand and then just extend your arm out underneath her?
All right. She's gonna actually pee in a cup and then I'm gonna pour it on me.
Okay, that may not work because the cup is gonna take out the concentration. When you let it sit around in a cup, then the acid concentration goes down by percentage, and then it's not effective. It has to come right out, like, as soon as it comes out, it has to hit contact on your skin. That's why I'm saying put your arm out under her vagina right now, and just let it run down on your arm.
All right, hold on.
Okay, just stay on the phone.
All right, I'm rubbing it on me now.
Okay, rub it into you. Was she able to pee?
She peed a little. I mean, I got enough for my hands.
Okay, now it didn't go into a cup. It went straight onto your hand, right? In your was it just your hand or your arm that it went on?
It went on to my hands because my forearms were sprayed.
Okay, Faye. Now there's another person there. There's still your forearms. Okay, now, Faye, where is Mary?
Now, are they almost here? Because now the police have showed up.
Yeah, they showed up because we notified them, ma'am. Okay, now you need to tell them to stay away.
Stay away.
They are there. Tell. Okay, Faye.
Yep.
Tell the officer that if he comes near you, then he's going to have to get naked as well. And we don't want that to happen.
Okay.
Explain that to them.
He said if you're going to come near, you're going to have to get naked as well. We had a chemical spray in our store. Dean Anderson is from corporate KFC. All right. I informed them.
Did you get any urine on your arm?
I have not. Just on my hands.
Okay, now I need you to be strong. Now one of my dispatchers is getting in touch with one of the officers right now, and they are prepared to urinate on your arm if necessary, because you need that on your arm. So what you need to do is don't get too close.
Just
come at least like 10 feet away from the officer and ask him to please urinate on your hand or your arm.
They're shutting down the street right now. They're in their cruiser shutting down the street, so no one comes close.
Okay.
I'll ask Mary to
urinate on your arm.
I'm going to have Mary do it, actually.
Okay.
She's getting naked right now. But.
Okay.
All right. Mary, I need you to pee on me.
In all the reports I read about this, they said that the girls became suspicious when the caller asked them to pee on each other. But a pretty huge portion of that hour-long clip consisted of them peeing on each other, so that's not exactly true.
So what they think they did was fun, and they were just cruel and sadistic.
As much as that entire phone call made me laugh, I have to agree with you, Richard. I try to encourage people not to involve police, fire, and other emergency services in any kind of prank call.
Go to your victim's place at night and break a window with a rock.
No, Richard. Breaking someone's window with a rock would also involve the police.
I am definitely not afraid of the fucking police right now.
It's not an issue of being afraid of the police or not. It's just a bad idea to bring the police's attention to your prank calls when you don't have to. There are plenty of calls you can make that won't involve the police or fire department and won't tie up emergency services.
We are familiar with law enforcement countermeasures and tactics.
No need to get an attitude with me. I'm just saying, let's stick to prank calls that don't cause the closure of a major highway and restaurant and cause a hazmat panic. I've read a few follow-up reports that say the police are looking for the caller, but they didn't mention if they had any leads yet.
This is an open and shut case.
If only the New Hampshire police had you to help them, Richard. I think that's going to wrap up this edition of PLA Radio. Richard, thanks for being our guest today, and good luck on your book tour. Keep an eye on Richard's YouTube page at youtube.com/RichardCardo for information on book signings near you.
There'll be other cases I am working on, and we'll bring to YouTube as well.
We can't wait to hear about those. Visit phonelosers.org for show notes on everything from this episode. Bye, everyone.
Take care. God bless.
Going by so fast, it really is bewildering, and we'll be so-called grown-ups and have mortgages and children. I hope we all gain worldliness and wisdom and maturity, but I hope most of all that MySpace falls into obscurity. I hope our profiles all go dead, entombed in distant servers, a monument to our youth, although lacking its observers. Your page will be an empty shell when no one is behind it. I hope your MySpace stays forever, and I hope that your kids find it. How I hope that you forget about your MySpace. I hope it slips completely from your mind, and I hope it stays up long enough for the next generation to find. And I hope that it embarrasses your children. Hope their bratty friends will forward it around, and I hope that you forget your password so you cannot take it down. Kids think you're vaguely square, it will be so much clearer when they laugh at the pictures you took in your bathroom mirror. They will not know your favorite band or any of the others. Who is this soldier boy you reference? Who's the Jonas Brothers? They'll marvel at how old you are, they'll raffle at your outfits. Your style may pass as vintage in the future, though I doubt it. I hope that you forget about your MySpace. I hope it slips completely from your mind. And I hope it stays up long enough for the next generation to find. And I hope that it embarrasses your children. Hope their bratty friends will forward it around. And I hope that you forget your password so you cannot take it down. I hope your cynical kids say, holy crap, this is great. These comments date all the way back to 2008. I hope they dig through your pictures and find some we might call compromising. I hope seeing their mom in a swimsuit or smoking a hookah isn't too traumatizing. But it will be past their comprehension. They'll ask, did Grandpa not give you enough attention?
Thank you for calling home phone at Bell Canada. How can I assist you?
Hello. Could I have a French-speaking operator? I don't speak a word of English.
All right. Is that in Ontario or Quebec?
Ontario, please.
One moment.